Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Hi, I'm Amanda, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2004. Since that time, I've been serving God as an administrative assistant in a growing local church, and I really love serving God with my life.
Hi, I'm John, and I graduated from West Coast Baptist College in 2006. Now I'm serving God full-time in a growing local church as a music pastor. West Coast prepared me both academically and spiritually for a great future in ministry.
West Coast Baptist College is a growing, dynamic institution committed to training laborers for the Lord's harvest. Thank you for your prayers and support for our students and our vision to train up a new generation of faithful, servant-hearted spiritual leaders. To find out more about West Coast Baptist College or to be a part of our vision, visit wcbc.edu or call toll-free 888-694-9222. West Coast Baptist College, training laborers for His harvest.
In Exodus chapter 20, God gave us 10 great laws. They hold the keys to overcoming life's greatest challenges. Next on Daily in the Word, we'll study how to overcome the greatest challenges of our lives with Dr. Paul Chappell. Stay with us. Often the most difficult and trying challenges of daily life are due to the fact that we're working against God's natural laws of life. We're working against the way He designed life to function rather than submitting to His laws. The keys to overcoming the greatest challenges we face are often found in submitting to God's ways. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to study how to overcome the greatest challenges of life by keeping God's 10 great laws from Exodus chapter 20. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and we come to you with the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church, president of West Coast Baptist College. For more information about our ministry, visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On the website, you can subscribe to Dr. Chappell's daily devotion. You can also download Daily in the Word to take with you on your computer or iPod and listen to at your convenience. Here's now Pastor Paul Chappell to introduce today's message in this series, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges.
Have you ever had someone say a lie about you? Have you ever had someone defraud your character or testimony in some way? Well, you know that's not a fun feeling at all. And the Bible's very clear that we are not to bear false witness about a friend or neighbor. Today we're going to learn how to keep truth alive in our society, and I hope that all of us will be challenged to walk in truthfulness in the days ahead.
Now, this was common in the Bible. I think about Joseph, a godly and an upright man, and Potiphar's wife in the land of Egypt grabbed him by the coat and tried to seduce him sexually. And Joseph ran away and left his coat in her hand. She turned around, took the coat, showed it to her husband and said, "Joseph tried to rape me." And we see in that situation an attempt to slander the life of Joseph. We think of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a fiery preacher, to say the least. John the Baptist preached one day about Herod living in adultery. And he pointed his finger in the face of the king and preached against his sin. And for that he was placed in prison as a rebel rouser and ultimately beheaded because he would not compromise his message. But I think above those of the Lord Jesus himself. You know, Jesus Christ was often slandered. And I want you to notice in your notes, Luke 7:34. The Bible says, "The Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and ye say, Behold a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners." Now here we see the Lord Jesus Christ being called a winebibber. Being called a gluttonous man. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe. And what always interests me in the New Testament about those that slandered Jesus, it was always the religious crowd. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, they were incensed by Jesus' popularity. They wished He would go away. They didn't want Him to attract these crowds. And so they slandered Him in this way. D. James Kennedy says, slander is often the product of envy. When we are jealous of others' popularity, his success or capabilities, we sometimes slander them in an attempt to make ourselves look good. And I'm going to tell you, I've lived long enough to see it in the business world, to see it in the military world, to see it in the ministry world. I don't care where it happens. It is especially wrong when God's people are involved in taking someone's life into their hands in that way. And by the way, let me ask you this question this morning. Are you the type of person that people feel comfortable bringing that news to? Are you the type of person someone thinks they can send an email or come to with their slander or their evil tongue about someone else? I learned a long time ago that people don't dump garbage on green lawns. If your life is taken care of, if your life is clean and right, no one's going to dump on you. And you ought to live your life in such a way that people know if they come to you with junk about someone else, you're either going to turn them away or take them to that person and make it right the biblical way. They ought to know that that's the way you handle those things. Proverbs 20:19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, notice this please, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Don't even mess around with that type of situation. Well, there are those who resist spiritual truth. There are those who reject personal truth. There are those who rearrange the truth. And then finally, notice this, there are those who ruin lives by rejecting the truth. Literally, people's lives, people's marriages have been hurt or ruined by this type of activity. Notice what it says, James 3:5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Isn't that something? The Bible calls the tongue a fire. And I believe this, Christian friends. I believe that we are either starting fires like an arsonist or putting them out like a firefighter. As a mature believer, that we're putting the fires out, not starting the fires. I heard about four preachers that gathered for a meeting, and they were just there having some fellowship. And one of them said, you know, he said, people come to us, they pour their hearts out, they have all these problems they tell us about and so forth. He said, you know, really, confession is good for the soul. Why don't we just kind of just be vulnerable here with one another for a moment and just kind of share some things that maybe we can pray with each other about these things. And so he suggested that they do this, and they were a little reluctant at first, but finally one preacher said, well, he said, I'll tell you, I am struggling in one area. He said, not too long ago, he said, I went to a movie that no Christian should go to. I should have never seen that, and it was wrong. And the second fellow said, yeah, he said, not long ago, he said, I smoked a cigar. I shouldn't have done it, but I did. And third guy said, yeah, he said, I've been playing cards and trying to learn how to gamble. And finally they came back around to the fourth guy. And they said, now, all right, what's your sin? Go ahead, we shared. Go ahead, your turn now. And he said, well, he said, really, he said, mine is gossiping, and I can't wait to get out of here. You ever had a friend like that? Now, I want to tell you something, friends, this morning. That type of action with those who reject the truth, with those who rearrange the truth, with those who resist the truth, I'm going to tell you, that can be difficult when that happens in your life. So let me give you four ways to preserve a relationship that's been hurt by gossip. Maybe someone said something about your marriage. Maybe they've said something about your children. Just four quick things that I've tried to practice and that I trust will be a help to you. Number one, pray for the one who gossiped. Pray for them. Say, I don't want to pray for them. I don't even want to say their name. That's why you need to pray for them. I believe it was Leonard Ravenhill who said, we never pray for folks we gossip about, and we never gossip about the folks for whom we pray. We never pray for those whom we gossip about, and we never gossip about the folks for whom we pray. Pray for them. Secondly, speak kindly to them. So I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. You can't afford it. All right, just hold on to that piece of your mind. Just speak kindly to them. A soft answer turneth away wrath, right? Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth. Number three, be honest toward them. In other words, don't try to add to their lie with another lie, exaggerating the other way. Let your yea be yea, your nay be nay. Number four, forgive them. Just forgive them. Forgive them and let it go. You know, Proverbs 26:20 says, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no tale bearer, the strife ceaseth. Isn't that amazing? Where there's no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. So where there is no wood, the fire goes out. So when we forgive them and get on with life, then we can see God at work again. I don't know about you folks, but I have a wife that I thank God for, and I want her to know without reservation my love for her. And I have four children I'm trying to help find God's will for their life. I have a congregation I'm serving and a community we're trying to share the gospel with, and missionaries we're supporting and students we're training. And there's just so much that God has given to us and so much good that can be done in this world, that to take time and throw logs on somebody's fire and give them the joy of having a little more hate in their heart, that's not why we are here on this earth. There's a lot of good that God has called us to do in this day, and we need to be busy doing it. Well, there are those that plot against the truth, primarily Satan himself. Then we see the pattern of truth rejectors. They like to spread every falsehood. And then I want you to notice, thirdly, though, the pathway to truth. The pathway to truth. Now, someone's here today and says, well, Pastor Chapel, I mean, there's so many religions and there's just so many different concepts about God and so much in the way of information is available today. How do I ever find the truth for this life? Well, I want you to know, my friend, this morning that God is truth, and He knows the truth about you and me, and He knows how to help us in this life to discover the truth that He has for us. Notice a few things about the pathway to truth. First of all, we can know the truth through the Scriptures. We can know the truth through the Scriptures. Now, the Bible is God's eternal truth. I know that's basic, but I want you to think about this for just a moment. Jesus said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Thy word is truth. And so when we're looking to find the truth, we're not looking in a catechism book. We're not looking in a song book. We're not looking in the Book of Mormon. We're not looking in some extra biblical revelation, but we're going to look to the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God. Now, the Bible is our moral compass. It is our spiritual compass. You may be in a fog of religion. You may parachute out into this postmodern society and learn that this is just nothing more than a secularist concept all around you, and truth is being abolished and compromise of the wrong sort is being made. And you might wonder, where can I find the truth? Well, I challenge you today. Let the Bible be your compass that leads you into the truth. Notice what the Bible says here in 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now please remember this morning that we must not confuse the truth with our opinion. And we must not deny the existence of truth by relegating God's declarations to an opinion. Look here this morning. This is not God's opinion. This is God's truth. And how many of you have opinions about things? You say time does not permit. We all have opinions. We have opinions about toothpaste. We have opinions about all kinds of products. We have opinions about hamburgers. Well, that's, for me, not really opinion. That's more of truth. In-N-Out Burger, I mean, that's, you know. How could that be just an opinion? But we all have opinions, don't we? And the danger comes when we want to put our opinion right up there with Scripture. But a mature believer recognizes all of my opinions have to come under His Word. Because this is not a nice opinion book. This is the eternal Word of God. And it is a word that does not fade away. Psalm 119:138 says it this way, "Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful." Now, my friend, the power of satanic delusion is broken by the power of the Word of God. And this world is under a strong delusion today, and men and women are confused about the truth, and yet God's Word will break that delusion because the Bible says it is quick and powerful, and the Bible is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's Word will show you exactly what you need to know. And by the way, you may not always want to hear what God's Word says, but you need to hear what God's Word says. You might say, oh, I need a little more flowery kind of a church with a little more poetry and a little more rock music and a little less of the Ten Commandments, if you don't mind. Well, let me tell you something. If I go to the doctor and he does an x-ray and finds a little speck of cancer in my lung, I want the truth about that matter. I don't want a doctor going, ah, boy, you're doing good. See you later. See you next year. And I don't want preachers doing that with me. Oh, yeah, God bless you. Keep putting money in the plate and just live the way you're living. No, no. I think we need to know what God's Word says. God's Word is the truth. In fact, it's unchanging truth. The Bible says in Matthew 24, 34, verily I say unto you, the generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. That's why George Washington said, it is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible. And I'm going to tell you something. Long before Google search and long before the internet and long before all these other things, America had some men who knew God and they knew the Bible and they figured out the right moral direction for this country. And how we thank God for that today, it's something worth living for and sacrificing for. But we know the truth through the Scriptures. And then let me say this finally. We know the truth through salvation. Through salvation. Now that's a big word. How does someone obtain salvation? We know the truth through salvation. Now, it's one thing to say, I believe the Bible is God's truth. It's another thing to know the author lives in your heart. You know, when I was in Bible college, my wife would sometimes go up to her home in San Jose, California, and I would continue working maybe during the holidays, maybe over the summer. And she would write me the neatest letters. I mean, I would run to the mailbox. I would smell the perfume on the way. I'd open those letters up, and I just read every word of those letters that she sent to me. And I tell you, what was so special was not the paper and the ink. It was my relationship with the person who wrote those letters. I'll tell you why some people are C&E Christians. They don't know the author. Because when you get to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, all of a sudden you want to know what He has to say. All of a sudden you want to grow in His wisdom. You see, men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself. Men reject the Bible because it contradicts them. But when a man can humble himself to say, you know what, good, bad, or whatever, I just want to know what the Bible says. If I need to change, I'm willing to change. Then God can do something in your heart. Now let me tell you the truth about salvation. First of all, you can know this truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Look it. The way to a relationship with God is not through the Baptist church or the Catholic church or through catechism. It is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I say it again. Jesus, John 14, 6 said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So we can know the truth, and the truth is Jesus Christ. Secondly, the truth will make you free. Notice John chapter 8 and verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Someone says, free from what? Well, let's start with sin and the bondage of it. You see, God says, I want to set you free. God says, I want to forgive you. My blood was shed to pardon you from this sin. And when we receive Christ as our Savior, then we are forgiven. Romans 5, 8 says it this way, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says that without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin. And when Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, and when the Roman soldiers put the nails through His hands and through His feet, when they placed the the crown upon his head, the blood came flowing down from the body of Jesus that day. But Jesus Christ was not just another man. He was the God-man. He had been conceived of the Holy Ghost. He had lived a perfectly sinless life for 33 and a half years. And when the blood came flowing down, listen, it was not the blood from Adam's line. That was a fallen line. That was a sinful bloodline. Listen, when the blood of Jesus came flowing down, it was a heavenly, perfect blood that was shed for the sins of the entire world. And the Bible says that when we know that truth and when we receive Christ as our Savior, then we are set free from the condemnation of sin. Romans 5:1, there is therefore now no condemnation, the Bible says. There is peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can know the truth. And the truth will set us free. But notice finally this morning, the truth must be received. Hey, you have strep throat, you've got a sinus infection. The truth is that this amoxicillin's going to knock it down, right? The truth is that this medicine's going to take care of you. What good is that medicine if you leave it in the jar? No good. God says, I can set you free. I can give you a home in heaven. I can forgive your sin, but you've got to receive this gift. Now look at one more verse as we close. John 3:16 through 18. Very familiar to some of you. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Notice that. You are not saved through a church or a religion. It is through him that you are saved. But notice verse 18. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now, if you believe on Christ, you're not condemned. In fact, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, "He that has the Son has life, he that has not the Son of God has not life." If you believe on him, you're not condemned. But notice what it says there. If you believe not, you are condemned already. Now, my friend, this has nothing to do with Baptist or Presbyterian or whatever, what other label you want to mention. The simple question is this. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because if you have believed on him and put your total faith in him and trusted Christ as Savior, then you are not condemned. But if you have said, well, that's okay, but I'm going to try this other route, you're condemned already. But the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now, you can do what Pilate did. You can walk out of here this morning and go, what is truth? I wash my hands of this. Who can really know what the truth is? Or you can hear the words of Jesus Christ who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Thou shalt not bear false witness." Today, the truth about salvation is that it is found in Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. We invite you to find out more about our ministry. Let us know that our ministry is touching your life when you visit dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find many resources to help you and encourage you in your own spiritual growth. Before we wrap up the program, here's Pastor Paul Chappell.
Friend, the Bible says in Romans 5:8, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You know, you can listen to radio broadcasts and study the Bible, but until you have that personal relationship with Christ, it really doesn't all come together. I just want to encourage you with this simple thought. God loves you, and Jesus Christ paid the price on the cross for your sin. His shed blood and his resurrection make it possible for anyone who will turn to him to be saved. It's not about trusting in a church. It's not about giving money. It's not about anything we do. It's already been done by Jesus Christ. The price has been paid. If you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, why don't you take a moment right now and simply say, "Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I am a sinner, and I turn to you today and trust you to be my Savior. I ask you to make me your child and take me to heaven someday." Friend, if you said that prayer and meant it, then by the grace of God, you have been saved. Your sins have been forgiven. And if you have said that prayer, why don't you call us here at Daily in the Word and let us know what God has done in your life today.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, if you'd like more information about how to trust Christ as Savior, or if you've made that decision during this program, we would love to rejoice with you and send you some resources to help you grow in your Christian life. We would also like to send you a study guide for the current series, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges. This study guide comes with outlines complete for every lesson in this series. It'll be a great resource for you to refer back to or to pass along to a friend. Again, it's the study guide for Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges. We'd like to send it to you this month as a gift when you call or write to us. By the way, we do appreciate if you'd consider a gift to the Ministry of Striving Together. Your gift will help us stay on this station and continue ministering the Word of God. You can contribute to our ministry by visiting dailyintheword.org and clicking on the tab that says Donate. To contact us toll-free and request this resource, Overcoming Life's Greatest Challenges, call us at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748, or visit us at dailyintheword.org. We'd love to hear from you and know that our program is touching your life on a daily basis. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.